If you're here the last number of Lord's Day evenings, you will know that we were thinking of the theme of friendship and of friends. We thought about the greatest friend of all, the Lord Jesus, who lays down his life for his friends. We considered the importance of having faithful friends and that they're a precious commodity. And then last evening, we thought upon the importance of choosing your friends wisely, especially in the light of that verse which says, bad company corrupts good character. I want to move on this evening, Lord willing, for the next number of weeks to look at a related theme to friends. And that is a theme of neighbours. Neighbours, there's a close relationship between the two. For in the scripture, the word neighbour doesn't just mean, as often we tend to make it mean, someone who lives right beside us. A neighbour is somebody, anyone you know in your community, anyone you interact with, anyone whom you come across. And sometimes it's even the equivalent of friend. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about how one should treat one's neighbour. And the theme this evening is this: he who despises his neighbour sins. He who despises his neighbour sins. A rather similar statement is found in Proverbs 11 and verse 12, which reads, Proverbs 11 and verse 12, a man who lacks judgment derides his neighbour, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. And actually, in the original Hebrew, the word that the NIV translates derides, the same word is found in our text. It's a man who lacks judgment despises his neighbour. So a very similar proverb. What does this mean, this proverb? He who despises his neighbour sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy. Just want to draw your attention then to three aspects of this text. First of all, the particular reason why one might despise one's neighbour. The particular reason for despising your neighbour that is implied in this verse. I suppose there could be many reasons why you might look down on your neighbour and despise him. The word, by the way, the Hebrew word there is a very strong word. It's the same word that's actually used of the servant of the Lord in Isaiah 53. The man who was despised and rejected by men, the servant of the Lord, ultimately the Messiah, who was so despised by his own people. So it's a very, very strong Hebrew word. You could despise your neighbour. You could really look down upon your neighbour or some translations say belittle him, think very little of him, disregard him, regard him very badly for a number of reasons. Some of them you might think quite legitimate. If your neighbour was a drug dealer, well, you might have good reason to be not thinking highly of him. If your neighbour happened to be known to be a terrorist, you might have good reason, a legitimate reason, not to think highly of him, that you ought to report him to the authorities. But what's the particular reason here? Is it the legitimate reason for despising your neighbour? Because it is called a sin, so it can't be a good reason. It can't be a legitimate reason. It must be a bad reason. We can identify the reason from the parallel statement in the verse. Do you see what the verse goes on to say? But blessed is he who is kind to the needy. We can infer from that fairly safely that the particular reason why this person despises his neighbour and therefore sins is because his neighbour is needy. His neighbour is poor. His neighbour is in poverty. Even the preceding proverb would imply the same thing. Look at verse 20. The poor are shunned even by their neighbours, but the rich have many friends. No time for the poor man. But if he's rich, you'll want to follow him and associate with him and get to know him and be his pal and his friend. But shun the man or the woman or the family that is in poverty. The poor are shunned even by their neighbours, but the rich have many friends. This would also seem to be the case, this explanation that the particular reason here for despising one's neighbour is his poverty, from other verses in the book of Proverbs that warn us against having contempt for those who are less well off than we are. Some of you are aware, no doubt, a few of you anyway, although you probably can't hardly be not aware, that there's been a golf tournament underway here in this province, and the media is obviously very excited about it. And for some time I've been aware of a rather unusual name of a golfer from America. His name is Bubba Watson, and he was actually playing in Portrush this week. I don't think he did very well, but he was actually playing in Portrush this week. I wondered, that's a strange name, Bubba. Bubba Watson. I wonder, what did it mean? Well, I looked it up, and it means brother, which is good. It's partly a term of endearment. It means brother, apparently, in Southern America, the southern states of America. But it has another meaning. It's used pejoratively or negatively to refer to someone who is poor and badly educated, that he's a bubba. I don't know if we have any equivalent terms in our society. Maybe the most likely thing that you or I might be tempted to call someone who is struggling economically, who is poor or in poverty, is perhaps, say, a loser. Have you heard that being used? Oh, they're losers. They haven't succeeded well. They haven't managed to have a good career with a good income. They're losers. A particular reason here for despising one's neighbour is because he is needy. He is poor. This highlights a very important aspect of human society, which is this, the prevalence of snobbery in human society. Looking down your nose at someone who isn't as blessed as you in material terms, who isn't as well off. And there's plenty of snobbery in our world today. There was plenty of snobbery in the past. I'm sure many of you know the novel by Jane Austen, Emma, or you've probably more likely seen it on the television and the movies. And Emma, though she is the heroine of the story, is actually quite a snob. One of the storylines in that book and that movie is that she disapproves of her friend Harriet. You know why? Because Harriet is intending to, or has a longing to, marry a farmer. You'd say today, nothing wrong with a farmer. In the society of those days, if you weren't a gentleman, she should have married a gentleman. Not a farmer who would get his hands dirty and have to work on the land, but a gentleman who was blessed with inherited riches. And Emma was very disapproving of Harriet's intention or inclination to marry this farmer and did her best to prevent it. So eventually she is rebuked for it and learns the lesson. Snobbery is a reality. There is a tendency in those who are well off in society to look down upon and despise those who are less well off. Just as it can work the other way as well, we have to be careful about that. There's such a thing as inverted snobbery. If you weren't too well off, if you were poor, you might well be tempted to envy someone who's better off or be covetous of what they have. But no doubt about it, snobbery is a reality. It's been a reality in human society, and it couldn't it? It could slip into the Church of Jesus Christ. If what's in the air and in the society around us is so prevalent, could it not perhaps affect the way that you and I think of people and regard people who are less well off than we are? For not only is there the prevalence of snobbery in society, there is the possibility, the real possibility, of snobbery in the church. There is a warning about this in the book of James, and we read it a wee while ago. Did you hear it? This is, maybe you would say, an extreme case where social discrimination or favoritism or partiality is being displayed. James 2 and verse 3. And you pay special attention to the one who is wearing fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place, treating the apparently rich man with great honour, giving him the very best place to sit. Whereas if there were to be a poor man in ragged clothing come in, what's said to him? You stand over there, or sit down by my footstool. Treated with less respect, indeed disrespected and dishonoured when he comes in to the congregation. The fact that's there in the book of James, I think, is significant, is it not? That there was a danger. James was inspired to write this. because there was a real danger and perhaps even the real practice of snobbery in the early church. And this warning had to be given. They were not to show favoritism. They were not to show partiality. They were not to despise the poor brother who might come among them. Has not the Christian church, indeed in its history, fallen into the trap of partiality, of neglecting those who are poor? There was a practice in many churches in this part of the world, anyway, in the Western world, in Britain and Ireland, for the rich people even to have special seats. Some of them even had seats upstairs in the church building, while others had to sit in the ordinary seats. Or when there was such a thing as pew rents, which you may not be aware of, but even our own church, in this particular branch of the church, there were sitting as pew rents. And sometimes it was the case, actually, that rich people could pay for a special pew and even have it made more comfortable. Happily, that is not the practice now. Or in relation to evangelism, historians of the church would tell us that in Victorian England, it was middle-class, well-off people who went to church, and they had little or no concern for those who were their poor neighbours. It actually took the Salvation Army and William Booth to meet this challenge when he went into the poorer areas to bring the good news of the gospel to the impoverished in the society of that day. The possibility of snobbery in the church. The possibility that you and I might not, at least not value someone as much because they haven't done that well in terms of the world, economically. How terrible it would be if poverty should lessen a person's acceptance in the fellowship of the Church of Jesus Christ. How sad that would be. How sinful that would be. How wrong that would be. How terrible it would be if a poor believer were somehow treated and looked upon and regarded as some kind of second-class citizen in the kingdom of God. The particular reason why one might despise one's neighbour, looking down upon him because he or she is needy. Be on your guard, lest that kind of attitude should slip into your thinking and into your behaviour. Could it be the case that someone came into this church building this evening and they were not well dressed as I am and as you are, that we might give them a funny look rather than seek to show interest in them and concern for them? Particular reason for despising your neighbour because of their neediness and their poverty. The second thing we see in this text, of course, is this. For the Word of God calls a spade and a sin a sin. The sinfulness of despising your neighbour in this way. The sinfulness of despising your neighbour in this way. Look at what the text says, verse 21 again. He who despises his neighbour sins. He sins. And the Hebrew word is the word which means to miss the mark. It's one of the most common Hebrew words for sinner, for sinning. To miss the mark, he falls short of what God expects and God requires and God commands. By despising his poor neighbour, he sins. It is sinful. And why is it sinful? Why is it sinful? Well, the Word of God gives us good reasons, doctrinal and theological, why it is a sinful thing to look down upon someone just because they are needy or just because they are poor. Yes, the Word of God does tell us that at times a person's laziness can cause their poverty, and they are to be rebuked for that. But in general, the Word of God tells us that we are not to despise the poor for being just poor. Let me bring to you three theological or doctrinal reasons why it is sinful for us. And be sinful for you or for me to despise someone who is poor. Here is the first one. In the book of Proverbs itself, the Lord is the maker of the poor as well as the rich. The poor are not some kind of second-class creation. Rather, Proverbs 22 verse 2 states this: rich and poor have this in common. There are many things they may not have in common, because there are different levels of society, but rich and poor have this in common. The Word of God says, the Lord is the maker of them all. The same maker, the same creator, made in the image of God, albeit that this image is now distorted and marred by our human sinfulness. But nevertheless, rich and poor, the Lord is the maker of them all. This same truth is emphasized in other verses in the book of Proverbs. I'll just bring you two of them. In chapter 14, the same chapter, look on down the chapter, we didn't read it, but look at verse 31. Verse 31. He who oppresses the poor, what is he guilty of? If he thinks so little of the poor that he oppresses them, what's he guilty of? He who oppresses the poor shows contempt, that's a strong word, shows contempt for their maker. Or let me bring you another proverb. Proverbs 17 and verse 5. He who mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker. To make fun of, to scoff at, to make a mockery of someone who is poor, and that does happen, is to show contempt for their maker. So here is the first great reason, the first big reason. We could add in actually one other reference in Job 31 and verse 15. Now listen to what Job says. He says, he's saying that he hasn't treated his maidservants or his manservants unjustly. He's saying he's innocent of that. He hasn't treated them unjustly, those who have been serving him, who therefore, if you like, in a sense, socially has underneath him in that sense. This is what he says. Why did he not treat them unjustly? Here's what he says. Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one form us both within our mothers? The answer, of course, is yes. The same one formed both Job and his maidservants and his manservants, and therefore Job was right to say that he would not treat them unjustly, he would not oppress them. So here's the first theological reason why it is sinful to despise someone for their poverty. The Lord is the maker of the poor as much as he is the maker of the rich. They have as much dignity in that sense as those who are rich in the eyes of God. Secondly, not only that, but we can take it further. We can take it further. Not only is it sinful to despise your neighbour for poverty, because the Lord is the maker of the poor man as much as the rich, but secondly, the Lord is the protector of the poor. This is something that's emphasised throughout the Word of God, and we should not miss it. The particular verse that I'm highlighting here is only one verse. There are many more in the book of Psalms. There are many in the book of Psalms. This is quite a striking one, I think, isn't it? Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. The fatherless, the orphans, and the widows, the most vulnerable in the society of that day. There was no widow's pension and no good provision for the orphans. The Lord is their protector, their defender. Something we find mentioned on quite a few occasions in God's word. We see it another way as well. You can see it another way. Think of the messages of the prophets. Whenever the prophets were rebuking the people of Israel for departing from God's law and being unfaithful to the Lord, one of the keynotes that you'll find throughout the prophets, and nearly all the prophets, not quite all of them, but in quite a number of them, the majority of them probably, is that the prophets denounced the society of that day for oppressing the poor people, in the covenant community of God's people. You'll find that, for example, in Isaiah. You'll find it in Jeremiah. You'll find it in Ezekiel. And perhaps most especially, read the book of Amos. He doesn't pull any punches when he denounces the oppression of the poor in the society of his day. I'll just give you one verse, but there are more in the book of Amos. But this one is particularly striking. Listen to Amos 4 and verse 1. Amos 4 and verse 1. It's addressed to the rich woman in the society of Israel in that day. And here's what the Lord's word says to them. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan on Mount Samaria. You women who oppress the poor and crush the needy, and say to your husbands, bring us some drinks. So they even got the husbands at their disposal, but they're particularly denounced and very strongly denounced because, did you see it? They oppress the poor and they crush the needy. And that passage goes on to warn these women, these oppressive women, these well-off women living in luxury who are oppressing the poor, warns them that they're going to be carried away captive by their noses, hooks in their noses. So a strong word of denunciation. We need to take to heart the strong emphasis in Proverbs and Psalms and the prophets that the Lord is the protector of the poor, and the Lord is displeased when he sees the poor being oppressed in human society. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, there's a particular section toward the end, isn't there, where the mother is advising King Lemuel. It's at the very end, chapter 31, verses 8 and 9. And here are the words of wisdom that the mother speaks to this king about his responsibility in the land. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Judge fairly the destitute and defend the rights of the poor and needy. Here's the king's responsibility. If he's a wise king, if he's going to rule in a way that's pleasing to God, he will defend the rights of the poor and the needy. The Lord is the protector of the poor. The Lord is the maker of the poor. And then there is yet another theological emphasis that we need to be careful about, but nevertheless, you need to note it. That the Word of God also emphasizes that the Lord is the Savior of poor people. He does not despise them. He does not discriminate against them in any way. He does not write them off. Here again, James 2 verse 5, we read it. Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? In the midst of warning the congregation there, James is inspired to write these words, that those who are poor in the world, many of them have been chosen to be rich in faith, spiritually rich. There's another classic passage, isn't there, that would teach us the same thing. Paul writing to the Corinthians tend to be rather prone to pride. And Paul writes this to them in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 27 to 29. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Now, we do have to be careful here. There are some theologians, and there is a tendency perhaps in our world to say, oh, poverty in and of itself is meritorious. That while the poor will suffer in this life, everything will be automatically balanced out in the next life, and that all the poor will be saved. The Word of God does not teach us that. The Word of God tells us that a poor man and a poor woman may be just as sinful, and are just as sinful, as the rich man and the rich woman, and just as much in need of repenting from sin and fleeing to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. It'd be very wrong for someone who is in poverty to think, well, my poverty will take me to heaven. That is not taught anywhere in the Word of God. But it is taught that most certainly that the Lord does not discriminate against the poor, and that he is most ready to save the poor, as indeed he will save those who are rich, who repent of their sins and turn to Jesus Christ. Three reasons then why it is wrong for us to despise a poor person just because they are poor. The Lord is their maker. The Lord is in fact their defender. He hears the cries of the poor who are being oppressed. and the Lord is the Saviour of many who are poor. One final point. The godly alternative to despising your neighbour. The godly alternative to despising your neighbour. Well, it's spelled out for us, isn't it? Look at this, the second part of the verse. He who despises his neighbour sins. But blessed is he who is kind to the needy. Or perhaps more accurately, blessed is he who shows mercy to the needy. Because the Hebrew word here is very often in the Psalms translated, have mercy. In many of the Psalms, the psalmist prays, have mercy upon me. So it's the very opposite, isn't it, of despising the poor, of turning up your nose at them, of being snobbish toward them, of shunning them or having nothing to do with them. Here's the very opposite. Here's the godly alternative, to be ready to be kind to the poor, to show them mercy. In fact, if you look up Proverbs 19, verse 17, there's a startling statement made. Here it is. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. He may be showing kindness to the poor, but in so doing, the Lord regards him as lending to himself. But blessed is he who is kind to the needy. Israel was commanded, wasn't she, to be kind to the needy in their midst. There are many examples of this under the Old Testament law. Let me give you one. Leviticus 19 and verse 10. Here was a particular arrangement made in the society of that day to ensure that the needy would be looked after. Far from being despised or ignored, they were to be looked after. Here it is. One example. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. Israel was commanded to be kind to the needy. The early church was kind to the needy, wasn't it? The early church was kind to the needy. Here we have in Acts 4 and verse 34, a remarkable statement. There were no needy persons among them. This is the early Christian community. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them and brought the money from the sale. Great degree of loving self-sacrifice, that they were willing to part with some of their own property to ensure there were no needy among them. Or to give one example of a person, a popular name, I think, and often in Christian circles, the name Tabitha or the name Dorcas. Acts 9, verse 36, hear what's said of Dorcas. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha who was always doing good and helping the poor. Always doing good and helping the poor. Now, in conclusion, a word of caution. Once more, it's important we maintain balance. You're probably aware that, particularly in the 19th century, in the early 20th century, in America, and to some extent elsewhere as well, there grew up what was called the social gospel. What was the social gospel? Well, it was a gospel which said the main task of the church is to address the injustice in society and help those who are physically in need. Now the church has, to a degree, such a calling. But that is not the primary goal of the church. For no matter how bad physical poverty may be, there is a greater need, isn't there? There's a much worse form of poverty. And that is spiritual poverty. That is to be spiritually bankrupt, without God and without hope in the world. And the main emphasis of the Word of God, the main emphasis of the Gospels, is to bring the good news of the Gospel to those who are spiritually impoverished, that through faith in Christ they may become blessed with spiritual riches. And so your greatest need and my greatest need is not actually to have physical poverty removed. The greatest need of any human being, man or woman, is to have their spiritual poverty removed by coming to faith in Jesus Christ and being blessed with all the spiritual riches that are in him. So let's be careful. But nevertheless, let's also take to heart these words this evening, that we may not slip into the sin of social snobbery, that we may not be inclined to despise a neighbour who is poor, but rather, as the Word of God says today, we may be generous and ready to help, especially those in other lands who are far, far poorer than most people in our land are. Hear the word of God. He who despises his neighbour sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy. Amen.